it's time for Measure Twice.
Hello, welcome to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you apart by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with a showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors and Hoosier Hardwood Floors. Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You could visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Had to rush onto the air today, Joel, because, you know, Chris has mentioned that it's a new time of year, right?
Yeah.
And how long does it take you to take down Christmas decorations?
Us?
Yeah,
you. They're still up.
Yeah.
They're still up?
Yeah. Well, still tree's up. Still up.
It's still the season.
When isn't it the season?
Well, the 6th is Epiphany. So that after that, you have to take them down.
You have to.
Otherwise, it's a sin.
Liturgically, it's the baptism of Jesus. That's when it ends.
Liturgically.
Liturgically.
For, like the 6th.
No, that's the Epiphany.
Sorry.
That's when the wise men came.
Okay.
They had an Epiphany.
It's the 12th. That's the 12th day of Christmas.
Oh, man, our calendars are all screwed up.
But I take my stuff down New Year's Day, get it put away, go away.
And then he puts up his Valentine's Day stuff.
Yeah, I got hearts hanging everywhere.
Heavy hearts.
Cupids.
Heavy hearts.
Get on my Cupids.
He puts nothing but cherubs.
Cherubs.
That's it.
With bow and arrow.
That's a lot of statuary.
That is a lot of statuary. How do you do that? That's none of the dogs knock them down. But that is a thing, right? You'll go into houses after New Year, and you know there's some people that drag it on. There's some people that don't. Our tree is still up because my wife ordered a new system to put away the ornaments.
Ah,
and it delayed. So I was like, aren't we going to, because normally we take it down around New Year's, you know, but it was on a weekend kind of. So it was like, it was really, usually that's what we would do, the same thing, right? Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm not taking the tree down until the ornament
organized
system comes.
Ornament organizer.
Yeah. And she got an email, you know, on Tuesday, you know, like.
So Christmas is lasting longer in the Perugini house.
And the dogs are like,
it a real tree or an artificial?
No, it's artificial. I'm married to a fireman's daughter. We were not allowed to have. He wouldn't come in the house if we had a Christmas tree. <That's funny.
laughs> We put candles on ours, on our life tree. Not really.
Yeah, I was going to say. There is a story where my father-in-law, they tell me that they were at a party, and it was a Greek family having the party, and that's very traditional Greek.
Right.
To put candles on. He walked in, there were candles, live candles on the Christmas tree, and he sat by the door in the kitchen.
I thought he took like a fire extinguisher to it or something.
He was like, you guys do what you want, but I'm sitting right by the exit.
When those suckers go up.
Yeah. And you know, he's just on principle. He still goes in somebody's house if they have a real tree, but he was like, it was just easier to not listen to him say you shouldn't have a real tree.
With candles.
With candles. But keeping the Christmas ornaments up, I guess everybody has like a traditional time. But my favorite is the tree strapped to the top of the car in like Easter. That thing will burn in like 1 second.
Yeah.
Why take them down at that point, put Easter eggs on it.
It represents the resurrection.
It already went through
from death to life.
That's an epiphany.
Yeah.
There's a liturgical time to take the tree down.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah.
In
the church.
Yeah, in a Catholic church.
Yes.
Like, I guess churches might have their many different things. I think it's cool, though, going to a church, you know, and seeing the Christmas decorations. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they get after it. Some poinsettias. Poinsettias.
lots of those.
Yeah. Are you a poinsettia guy?
No.
No? Joel?
We have them.
You have them?
Oh, yeah. I don't have anything against them.
My wife loves them.
You keep them? Do you try to like keep them alive?
No. No, yeah.
They're difficult.
They are.
They are. They're a tropical plant. Yeah. Maybe not.
My grandmother could keep them alive. And they would get like
huge.
Enormous.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first person I've ever, because I've heard people keep them alive, but then they look like sticks with.
Yeah.
They don't look like they do at Christmas time. That's for sure.
No. No. They do not. But if you're, we're not going to talk about the Christmas system, but the system is really neat. I'm saying it's a system. It's really not a system. It's just you type in what kind of ornaments you have. You count how many you have. So there's a little bit of legwork there. And they're essentially just, you know, insulated little bags.
Like a storage unit.
They're just insulated little bags that are shaped in a certain way so that you can stack them. And they don't.
Should have gone to Balsam Hill and bought the cart for your ornaments.
A cart?
A cart. They have a cart that's like, it's about this big, and you'd pull open the drawer and you just stick your ornaments in.
And it's like a shopping cart?
No, it looks like
a tool chest.
Like a chest. Yeah, basically. Well, but it's not, it's made out of like, they have because they have a bag for the tree. You put your tree in. It's all organized. And
wow. Oh, yeah. She would
gloves,
love that.
Comes with gloves. So you don't.
Yeah. You know what's weird is the gloves are. I don't use gloves, but I want to every time I'm done because it's just like your hand. It's weird. Like. But
yeah. Balsam Hill has a really nice ornament organizer.
I don't even know what Balsam Hill is.
They're,
is that One Tree Hill? Is that right next to One Tree Hill?
Yeah.
On an all new One Tree Hill.
Balsam Hill is a company that. Specifically does Christmas decor. They do fall and Easter as well, but Christmas is they're known for their live look artificial Christmas.
Okay.
And they have absolutely incredible ornaments and all the, they have just really beautiful things for holidays.
It's a website, I'm assuming.
Yep. And they send out, they have catalogs too, but it's really top notch.
Cool. Well, that's, I mean, maybe next year we'll get another system. Thanks, Chris.
If you're into Christmas, don't go to their website.
Really? It's like Winter Wonderland.
Their garlands are absolutely beautiful.
It's all like a live look?
You can get live.
Oh,
actual
really?
They do actual live garlands. I don't do that because I know by the time Christmas is over, it'll be all over the floor.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do to hold
my
it.
Wife. My wife makes them.
Both outside,
live.
Yeah,
live ones.
Does she buy the stuff or does she cut it?
We have a friend that works at it. He helps with the tree farm.
Oh,
and so he'll bring some of the cuttings.
Boughs.
I like live, but it just dries out too quickly.
It smells good too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Especially when it's burning.
Just kidding. Wow. Did it get dark in here?
It got real dark in a hurry.
Wow. Wow. I know. It's the fire's favorite holiday. We laugh, but it's a
it's
real
true.
Thing.
It's
you
true.
Know, if you ever talk to any firemen, this is their least favorite time of year because it's just, you know, just stuff happens, you know. When are we going to start wrapping these gifts in asbestos?
With your white suit and the hat, your hazmat suit.
Yeah, just sit around in a hermetically sealed. In that room over there, that fire room is all the Christmas gifts. This time of year, people figure out that there's a lot of impromptu organization this time of year, is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because you.
Well, there's that. And then the reason that my wife keeps stuff up is because when everything comes down, she says it just feels like it leaves a void.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
When it goes away.
Right.
Then it feels like, yeah, does she immediately start putting other stuff up?
She decorates for about every season.
Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah. We get there's Valentine's. No Cupids, but.
Hallmark Day?
No, so the Hallmark has gone away.
Now, you must be so sad.
I'm just seasonal.
You must be so sad.
It feels like a void.
You do St. Patty's Day?
I mean, some green will come out.
I'm just curious.
Some green will come out.
She dyes the toilet water green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, Joel does.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, why don't you flush that?
Wow. It get a little dark in here. It's a little dark on the thing there. Okay, so we when we come back, we're going to talk about the seasons and you know, how they affect you. So this is Measure Twice.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops. With the showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Someday we'll release the tapes of what happens when we're not on the air, and we will lose all our listeners.
Or gain a bunch of different
ones. Wow. Some days are stranger than others. You know, you don't know. What we're talking about, it's like the new year and kind of like, all right, these decorations come down, new decorations go up, but you learn a lot about your home at this time, because you took the stuff out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put it up, and then you have empty stuff, you know, because you put it, whatever's empty, back where you got it from. But you learned, did I find it right away? Was it easy to get to? You learn all these things. And then when you're putting it away, you learn, is this easy to put away? Is this where it should be? And it's interesting that there's a whole company dedicated to, I guess, why not? Why wouldn't there be? To this thing. What's it called again? What was the
Balsam company? Hill.
Balsam Hill. Chris mentioned Balsam Hill is everything Christmas decorations, but also some systems to put stuff away.
Yeah, the organizers.
Right. But do people build, like, storage?
Oh, yeah.
I know, obviously, I guess that is a pretty silly question, right? Obviously, they do, right? I'm trying to think. I always feel like that the store, like, do people literally come in and like, yeah, my remodel project is I'm building storage. I need storage. I need a place. Or does it just happen through other renovations? Like, oh, we're going to redo this room. Oh, and we're going to gain some storage over there. Because that's in my mind, that's how it goes.
No, oftentimes people are thinking about that too.
To get both done at the same time.
Especially if they're in a new build, they'll have shelving built into the storage areas of the basement or the lower level.
Or just make sure that they have the appropriate closet space.
Yep.
Right. That can't be an afterthought, right? That's
No. You don't want it to be, that's for sure.
No, that would be terrible. And basements now, Joel, when did basements see, like, I feel like code. Is there a code that a basement has to be a certain height?
No.
So you can...
At some point, it becomes a crawl space.
Yeah.
You could have, like a glorified crawl space. Because I just feel like basements are taller. Like, they're...
They've definitely... Yeah.
But that wasn't a code thing.
That was a living thing.
Living thing, okay.
I mean, you know, do you really want to stack field stone 8 or 9 feet high, huh?
Joel does supply the practicality here. Is that really the reason why it was like 8 feet? Was like, that was about it.
You're lucky if it was eight.
Yeah, a lot of times it was seven-ish.
Yep. Right, or a crawl space.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, we call it, you know, the old Michigan basement.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why is it a Michigan basement? Do you know
I don't know why it's called a Michigan basement. I don't even know.
You can't dig a hole in rock? Is that why?
I don't know.
It could be. In Arizona, there's no basements because you need dynamite to dig a hole.
Yeah.
And there are basements.
That's a lot of the Southwest.
Right. There are basements, but they're expensive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Super expensive.
Yeah, dynamite that sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like fake basements there because they just build you on a hill.
Yeah.
And then you have a walkout that isn't, you know, they didn't have to do much to make a basement. But tall basements kind of revolutionized the need for an attic in my mind. I was kind of thinking that this week.
Tall ceilings in a basement?
Yeah, because they just get a lot easier to store stuff in the basement.
Then you're not necessarily going to take it up to the attic and store it there.
Right.
Like the Griswolds.
Yeah, right. Like, well, like every, I think most of the people I knew growing up stored stuff in their attic. And can you overstore in your attic? Can you damage your house if you have too much stuff up there?
I'm sure you could. I mean, you put your gun safe up there, that might be a issue.
Well, will it, what I'm saying is, will it
like
draw on the walls?
It would.
You need a pencil for that.
Yeah.
Hi-o.
No, I think it would cause, it could just cause stress on
the ceiling. Might ceiling sag, thing. But.
With enough weight, yeah, you could probably.
But you're probably not being able to carry that up there.
The attics are difficult to get to store.
I agree. They've never really come up with an innovative attic stair system. It's to me, it looks like the same stair system that was created in 1973.
Or 1873.
Yeah.
That loud sounds like a pterodactyl when you open it, you know, and no fun to climb up. And then.
And the openings are not usually that large either.
Right.
So.
Right. Right.
Just big enough to get a mannequin up there.
Pretty much. yes. I was thinking that you could put too much weight up there a little at a time is where I was going. Like, not like one gun safe, but like you could
over
eventually.
Time of accumulation?
I suppose so. I mean.
Because most of the time your attics don't have floors.
Yeah, they're full of insulation.
Insulation and there's just, they don't usually put a floor in.
Right. You have to put it, you have to like.
If there was if there's a floor in the quote unquote attic, typically there's like a legit stairway and it's almost, it's basically a third story.
It's no longer
third
an
story.
Attic. Yeah. Right. It's now an area. I mean, I feel guilty going up there and putting stuff on top of the insulation. Like I'm like ruining the, you know, like.
You're compacting.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No. So it's like. Over your garage,
you're doing the opposite of what insulation is supposed to
be. Exactly. And it's like, I'm just thinking over your garage is a place where, okay, well, you could probably store stuff up there because sometimes they're not even insulated.
Sometimes. Or less insulation.
Yeah. And then you can do that. But a basement seems to be like aces for that. Like you usually have a decent stairwell to your basement.
Lots of open area. That you can
exactly
get to the shelving or whatever you have
right.
for storage.
And the reason why I'm talking about height is because that takes away from the floor. Like you can go up as opposed to out and and the way basements are set up now, they're a lot smarter than they used to be. Like,
Oh yeah.
It was really funny because they were like, nobody's going to go down there. It's wet and damp. So we can just put your heater, your furnace, wherever we want it,
right.
You know, or whatever. Now it's like they're really intelligently thought out. Like, okay, if I, like many homes, they're either in a corner perfectly or they're in the center perfectly.
Yeah.
So that everything can revolve around it. It's like, it's pretty cool. But shelving in the basement, I wanted to talk about that. Like, if you were going to hang shelves in a basement, let's say you weren't going to go buy shelves, you wanted to like put them on the wall. Is that even a good idea?
Hanging shelves?
Yeah. You know the systems that you can like put the slats on the wall and then you have the hooks, they hook in.
Like a garage type of
kind of garage thing, kind of like a supermarket
I mean, that's
shelf.
Fine. If you have a place that you can actually tie into the wall without too much issue, if you're just going into the concrete, it's going to be difficult.
It's a lot of work.
Plus, I don't know if I'd want to jeopardize the integrity of the concrete.
You wouldn't be in that case putting some tap cons or something like that in there, but it just that would be a pain in the butt. If it's studded out, there wouldn't be an issue with that.
Right.
The studs.
Most people just put up if they're not buying shelving systems or putting up wood racking.
Right. Then it's just simple.
Yeah.
But the idea is that that perimeter of that basement's phenomenal for it. Like it's great. And just keep everything off the ground in case something, you know, you get water, then.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Did you get water, Joel? I feel like we touched a nerve there.
No, we recently. So my house, you were talking about, like, now things are smart where they're put together. Like, you have a utility room. And
right.
Your electric, your HVAC, your water, all there.
Right.
Mine is spread out into three different rooms. Well, it's been added on to like five times. So
gotcha.
So in one corner is the electric. We good on time?
Yep.
I see you looking.
Yeah. Oh. No, I'm always looking at time.
Oh, okay. One corner of the basement is where the electric is. In the middle is the furnace. And then another room is where the water comes in from the well. And then all my water utility is there. And for whatever reason, when they did the well, they ran poly to the wall and then galvanized through the wall and then concreted right to the galvanized, and they didn't sleeve it. Sleeving it is like putting like a piece of PVC or something around it to protect it so that the concrete doesn't go right to it, because concrete
eventually will corrode
yeah. and cause a failure. Well, that's where we're at.
Oh my goodness. So that's
it's not major, but I'm getting some water along the wall and I can see that it's coming from that.
Right.
It's prepped. The well guy's coming out and we're going to get taken care of. But in the meantime, some stuff that was on the floor.
Well, when we come back, we can talk about, I mean, that's kind of interesting how there are certain things that corrode you wouldn't think of. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. Hold on here. The microphone was going a little crazy there. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything, windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're kind of talking about, well, we started talking about, like, this is the season, this is the time of year where you relearn how efficient your storage is, because you're putting away holiday decorations, mm-hmm. and then it was either a hassle or it wasn't a hassle, really.
Well, and a lot of, you know, you typically add to your decorations every year. You buy a little bit more, and so when you go to put it away, it's like, oh.
Wait a minute, I have more stuff.
I have more stuff. Yeah. What happened to my storage?
Right. It disappeared. It's like, wait a minute, this goes back to, you're right. You end up with a little more stuff.
Right.
And then you still have it out, and you don't know where to put it.
Right. On the floor.
Just leave it out. Just like be Frankenbooth, Michigan. Just leave it all out all year long.
Frank.
That's the Christmas.
I've been there.
Right? You've been there? Of course.
Yes.
Is it as magnificent as it sounds?
It's charming. It really is charming because it looks like an old German village.
Looks like
that's
Christmas
not something that he'll. Charming is not a word that he breaks out very often.
No, that's a pretty serious.
It has a lot
word.
Of charm. It really does. It's just, I would say cute. That's not charming. Is much better.
Okay.
It's more charming than cute.
More charming than cute.
Yes, it's grown up cute. It's charming.
Yeah,
is what it is. That's what you know.
It's chivalrous.
Right. I don't know how far away that is from us, but I, you know.
Frankenmuth?
Yeah.
About 4 hours.
Wow.
By plane. No, I'm just kidding.
It's in the North Pole.
Yes.
Actually, you have to take a sleigh all year. But yeah, you acquire stuff, and then now you have extra, or you have to, you know, purge some things.
Yeah.
I don't usually purge my Christmas stuff. I just, it's like.
You just find more places to put it?
Find more places to put it.
Do you purge anything?
Do I purge anything? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I do.
You. There are some things that, some decorations that you cycle through.
There's Christmas. Some that you just kind of go, I don't, that worked before, but it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So you're like, kids, you want something?
Christmas is something that you, what I'm picking up is like kind of holds.
Pretty much, yeah. But for me, it's like, I had my Christmas decorations and then I moved in a different house. So then it's like, oh, I need this now. And so then you're adding to your collection.
Right. But because you're not buying like super trendy
correct
Christmas things right is really why.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You keep it year to year.
Like you don't have like, here's camping Santa and.
Oh, I have some of that stuff too.
Do you? Yeah.
I have a collection of Santas that was given to us. So.
So it's many different styles of Santa.
There were, yeah, some of Norman Rockwell Santas.
Gotcha.
There's a Santa on a tractor. There's.
Sackage's Santa.
Santa at the winery.
Santa at the winery. DUI Santa. He's got a 12-pack.
He's directly after Santa at the winery.
He's got a torn thing there. Yeah, divorce court Santa. That'd be really funny. But these things need to go away. We're talking about the basement, like tying into your walls. It's not that big of a deal to tie into your walls if you have studs to hang shelves. There's lots of...
What if you're on a slab?
Yeah, you're not going to the basement.
What do you mean?
What a slab
is just no basement, yeah.
I was thinking, like, isn't there a slab in the basement floor? Like,
no, but if you live, your house is on a slab.
No, you're done.
Where do you go for your storage?
You dig a Santa hole. Prepper hole for Santa stuff. No, you are attic at that point.
You're attic or, yeah.
And, you know, in our part of the country, there's slabs out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, more with like, at least with new construction, more with like condos.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a condo, you sometimes have an attic and sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have a storage unit at that point.
What surprised me was when my daughter moved to Indy, trying to find a house with a basement in Indy was difficult.
Oh, really? In the city?
Even in the suburbs.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder why they couldn't build in the winter.
Not new build?
Yeah.
Those are new builds?
New builds. Was it difficult to find a house with a basement?
Interesting. Because I feel like a basement is something that I wouldn't take it for granted. Like, I think if I was looking at a house, I would want a basement.
But, and that's what took them a while to find a house that they could afford. Because houses with basements down there are far more expensive than those without.
Yeah. I mean, how difficult is, I mean, when you're building a new build, it feels like that isn't that much more expense.
Well, concrete's not cheap.
But isn't it the same concrete? It's just on the floor. Like, it's just on the floor of the basement. Is it
the
walls?
Your foundation wall, and you have the extra excavating.
So I guess it's double, I suppose.
And who knows, maybe permitting is different, so you have to, like, there's other hoops you have to go through, and there's a cost there.
Right.
I was told it had to do with the soil.
Spongy.
But that makes it difficult.
Right.
Like sugar sand or something.
Sugar sand.
Yeah, that stuff's
some. Sounds like a band name. Ladies and gentlemen, sugar sand.
From the 50s.
Yeah.
Sugar sand, is that something that's around? What is sugar sand?
You run into it every now. It's you run into veins of it. It's really, really extremely fine sand that doesn't really pack.
Oh.
And so it will just, if you get into it, it will just continue to fall in on itself.
Interesting. Kind of like an Indiana quicksand.
Yeah.
Type thing, but.
Yeah.
Sugars. I've never heard that.
Never heard
before.
It either. Now I'm going to feverishly Google that, among other things later.
Songs just keep popping into
my
head.
Among other things.
The sugar sand, it sounds like something that you'd have to get rid of it, right? You'd have to dig through the vein, or you, sounds to me like you're making a really hard decision at that point.
You end up having to overdig.
Gotcha. Yeah. That sounds like it would be. You know, like there really
was,
expensive.
We ran into it one time when we were putting a basement under a house, and that was a nightmare.
I bet. Because I can imagine, because there are sands that for different, there's sands for all kinds of purposes, and packing sand is, it like fits together like a jigsaw. Like if you look at it under a microscope, it's cool. Like they connect, and it's wild, you know?
Yeah.
And the pea gravel, same way, right? Like it just, melds to, it just like forms together, you know. This is the opposite.
Yeah.
This is like slippery and dry at the same time.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's pretty nuts. Never heard of it.
I never did either. Had no clue that it existed.
Yeah. First time. If you have a finished basement right now, if you're finishing a basement, right? I would imagine part of the design part is to make sure that you're not crowding out storage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get overzealous when you're designing a basement, right? And you say, oh, I'm going to do this over here. And next thing you know, you've eliminated the benefit, the original benefit of the basement. I mean,
right. Always kind of work around that element, because you always want...
You want to carve some out, right?
Yeah, you want to carve storage out. And same thing with your mechanicals. You want to make sure that you're working around those and not putting them in the center of your finished basement.
Right, because the mechanicals, I think, are... pretty easy to remember because they're not there. They are.
Yeah, they are. Exactly.
It's like when you walk down the basement, I would assume you would look and say, you have a lot of boxes. You know, you have a lot of storage down here. Where's that going? Do you like, is that like, it's sort of the, how you walk through that with
actually,
somebody?
You walk through and you go, wow, this is nice storage.
You kind of just
seriously,
bring it up.
No, it's like, this is really nice storage because not everybody has this the luxury of all this space.
Right. Right. And when you build new, finishing the basement at that point is great, but it's not always great for how you live. You know, that's the thing, you know, we talk about that all the time. You need to live in your house for a little while and then you figure out and there's some genius things though in new builds. In my house, it's genius. There's a room that's set up and it's just for like, it's like having a pantry, like a dry good pantry in your basement, and it's just set up for it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's like, wow, that somebody thought of that.
The old root cellar.
Yeah.
It really
what's
is.
Old,
it's like a
what's
root
old
cellar.
Is new.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And it's just, cause when we first looked at the house, the finished part, like it's like the finished part is like in it and it's not all the way up against the wall. It's kind of like a box in the middle of the, you know, on the side. I'm like, that is really weird. And why would they do that? And then it dawned on me. I'm like, well, because if I get water behind, you know, through this wall, well, there's access. You just walk back there and you can fix the wall. And then there's like a root cellar part where they put different electric. So you can plug a refrigerator and stuff. It was really smart, right? So
well thought out.
Well thought out. But I think sometimes
But then they run the power to a light on a three-way and
yes, then
nearly kill the homeowner.
Like, I was talking to Joel about that yesterday. They do things like ingenious like that, but then there's like weird electrical things going on. But, you know, who knows? When we come back, we'll just wrap this up. Your storage, your new year. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with a showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Kind of talking about storage in a roundabout way, ended up in the basement because, heck, that's some pretty great storage there. But I think that when we look at like going into the new year, that's really what the show was supposed to be about. We never really talk about what we're supposed to talk about. But when you're looking at the new year, this kind of kicks that off, like looking around. And the declutter mentality starts this year. Like everybody's at the gym, everybody's decluttering their house. Everybody's, you know, they're making all the promises for the new year. And I wanted to ask you guys, like, what do you see on the horizon going into the new year? Are there any kind of trends that you're seeing this year that weren't really there last year? Is there anything that you're seeing in the horizon? You all have projects lined up, you know, going into the new year. Are there anything you haven't done before that you're doing, or is it pretty steady
I think it's, I can't think of anything new as far as innovative, but right. There's some fun things that are going in on a project that we're working on, but putting greens.
You and your putting greens.
Yeah.
This is outside. And outside. Also have a golf simulator inside.
The golf simulator thing, I think, is a trend. Because I'm like, I heard it from you, and then I'm hearing it from, there are country clubs that are putting in.
Oh yeah,
golfs. You know,
well, there are companies out there that's all they do.
Right,
right.
What they specialize in.
And I think if we're talking about golf, it's because things got smaller. Like the golf simulators used to be gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
They would be big, refrigerator size. You know, like to capture all that information.
Well, when you were said, "Is are you seeing anything new?" My first thought was technology. As technology continues to drive new innovations in your appliances and your lighting and all the systems that you can put into your house now, that the smart house type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the way it used to be when you bought a laptop. Like you would buy a laptop and then just don't look anymore because you'll feel like you bought a dinosaur.
Right.
Like in a month.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, oh my God, this thing's obsolete already.
Yep.
Houses are almost like that now because you buy a house and you have a house built and then all of a sudden it's like, what? I could have done that. And then you got to call Joel. Then he comes in and figure, I'm serious. I'm not even, yeah. That sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but that's kind of like your bread and butter for the most part, right? Restoring old houses, right. You know, older or historic homes, but
yeah, updating.
Updating is a big deal. I think it's scary how fast you can need to update your house if you want to be the latest thing.
Especially, yeah, with technology.
Yeah, you look at an appliance and you take it home and you're proud of it and you go back to the store and you're like, wait a minute, that wasn't here when...
Yeah.
When did that come out?
Darn it. How 20 minutes after you slid your credit card through the machine. Like,
gotcha.
There you go. Yeah.
Now let's take the one out of the warehouse and put this one in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You have to live with that mentality when it comes to technology. You have to be able to, like, just look away and not stop doing the research.
Yeah.
No FOMO. Fear of missing out.
Right. I thought you were having a stroke for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because people get stuck.
Have you seen that?
Oh, like, yes. And I've heard, I'm going to wait till the next thing comes out.
You can always say that.
Yeah. I'm going to wait until technology. The next thing comes out. I want to wait until... Well, what's new? Well, maybe I'll just wait till I see what the new things that are coming out. It's like, it's not going to be that type of, not going to be that drastic. Sorry.
It's not going to be that drastic and it's never going to end.
Correct.
So
they get stuck in that. So then nothing happens.
Right. There's no, like at the moment, there's the problems that we have. You can't tell. Let me put it this way. No one can predict the monumental change.
Right.
Right.
We are used to what we're doing. So we don't know, we won't be able to even recognize the next monumental change. It's going to have to happen, you know?
Right.
And in your world, Joel, you're like, well, wood's still made of trees. We still need screws. You know,
yeah.
Like those innovations come slowly.
And yeah.
That's what you have to rely on. It's like, it's funny because sitting here, it's like on Chris's side, you're tapped into things that are just changing instantly, immediately. And Joel, you're tapped in things that have to be proven.
Right.
Like not that Chris's stuff doesn't have to get proven. I mean, it does.
Well, it works. His is flashier, right?
There's no code.
Right.
So you know how he doesn't have to like submit a design.
But there are things within that are proven.
Right.
So, and the mm-hmm. proven stuff doesn't really change, maybe incrementally over time. It's the trends. It's the
right.
The pace of society.
In Chris's world, I bet there were times in the past decade that it was like entering Toontown with like trends changing and, you know.
Still is. I can't believe how I look back over just the last 5 years. I can't believe how much different. Things have changed in the last 5 years. Styles, trends.
What had the biggest gap? What was the biggest change, do you think?
Style. Styling of, we've gone, it's kind of interesting because we're finding now that more and more people are wanting traditional. We're starting to kind of come back, and everything now is transitional to modern. So to find those things, it's kind of difficult.
It's hard to find traditional.
It's hard to find traditional.
Isn't that weird? It's like an oxymoron, because traditional, you would think, would be super commonplace.
No,
because it's the word traditional.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Well,
we stock that.
Right. Well, and it's such a broad term, too.
Because, right.
I mean, when you say traditional to somebody, they think, 18th century Chippendale, Queen Anne.
Right.
Doesn't have to be that, it's finding it kind of funny because for us, we're seeing all these really beautiful new fabrics coming out, but they're very traditional, beautiful patterns, florals, things of that nature.
Oh, like, right.
And there's nothing, what do you do with them? Because the furniture doesn't match so you have to be a little creative.
Right.
You can put traditional patterns on current styles and give it a fresher look.
It's almost like somebody opens the door and I'm like, what? Hey, Joe, did you see this warehouse with all this fabric in it? We got to move this stuff. Let's get this out into the world. Start taking pictures.
Well, and it's the younger designers that are the fabric designers pulling it back.
And it's, what's old is
new.
It's
kind of funny. Yeah, exactly. You're looking at it going, oh, this is really fresh. This looks really nice. Oh, yeah. I love this because you haven't seen it for so long. Right. All of a sudden it becomes new.
Right. Yeah. It's very hard to search. I don't think anybody searches this way, but nobody like Googles 1989 fabric pattern when they're looking at patterns, like when they're looking at fabric, they don't type a year in 19. I want to know what my mom's pattern was,
It's kind of fun though, because some of our manufacturers are still producing patterns that came out in 1860, the Morris Company, out of England. Those are the William Morris Arts and Crafts papers. Those are still all original.
Very classic. Very classic,
still being produced. And
well, they still make pinstripe suits.
They'll always be.
That's always going to be. There's always going to be a pencil pin suit. Well, then, because if you want to work in a bank and get the job, that's what you wear.
Not anymore.
To get the job. I said to get the job. Yeah,
right.
To keep the job.
Because, wait a minute, I haven't seen a pinstripe suit in a bank.
But they go to New York, you see them. So thanks for listening. This has been Measure Twice.
Podcasts by Federated Media.